Good morning. Turn to the person next to you and say, that pulpit's the wrong way around. And that guy has a stapler. Good morning. That guy's name is Tim. Nice to see you this morning. Thank you for spending part of your weekend here with us. All of this will start to make sense. But I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited that you're here too. And we are going to land this series today, part 8 of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, which of course is really based around emotionally healthy Christianity. How do we follow Jesus well, growing in spiritual maturity and understanding that if you don't grow in emotional maturity, you will not grow in spiritual maturity as well. I was reflecting this week and just thinking how grateful I am that we get to gather like this together. Please don't take for granted that in Jesus, God has answered the four main questions that have plagued humans forever. How did we get here? We're created. Who am I? Through Jesus, I am a child of God created in His image. What should I be doing? The first call on a human being created in God's image is to worship the one who created them. And then where are we going? Well, if you die before Jesus returns, the promise is heaven, but Christ is going to return and He's going to make everything that is wrong right. We cannot take that for granted. And you are invited here today, as I said right at the start. If you are tearful, we will cry with you and point you to Jesus. If you're joyful, we'll be joyful with you and point you to Jesus. Not in our own strength, but in the Spirit of God who comes to live within each one of us. Amen. And I want to invite you. You're hearing lots of talk about Jesus, lots of talk about the Holy Spirit. Let me present it to you first and clearly. If you look out in the world and you can see that things are broken, we live in a world that is so beautiful in one sense and so broken in another. And you can acknowledge that some of that brokenness is in you, and you see that that is sin, and Jesus came into the world fully God, fully man, to live a perfect life, to die, that sin, shame, and death would be conquered. And if you believe in Him and walk away from your way to God's way, you receive salvation, hope for eternity. You receive the Holy Spirit, strength, power, love, self-discipline, all these things that we do not have in our own strength and in our own power. And that baptismal over there is steaming hot and warm, and I am keen to dive into it. And so if you believe that, I invite you to be baptized following this service. You are ready. Jesus said He did all that He did so that we could be born again, made new, born again of water and the Spirit. And that invitation is for you here today. If your life, as you've been living it, has been a big question mark of hopelessness and despair, striving for things that don't actually give you hope or peace, Jesus is what you've been looking for. And He's here today for you. And so are we. And so I love being together. Don't take it for granted. Hey, I understand that this series has been a challenging journey. Maybe more so for some than others. It's brought up some challenging questions that I'm like, whoa, yeah, it's challenged me, absolutely. But we are continuing on this journey together, even though the teaching on a Sunday stops. So our Connect groups will keep going. A lot of groups are up to like part 5, maybe part 6. And this is slow work. Because the walk with Jesus is a slow down walk. Look at all that Jesus accomplished, but He was never rushed or hurried. There's an invitation into that. Because our society is the exact opposite of that, right? It's either like, we don't care if you don't do anything, or you must do everything and anything to feel good about yourself and be accepted by others. Those things are not true in Jesus. And I'm looking forward in coming weeks. If you have a testimony out of this series, I'd love you to come and talk to me. because we want to have a day where we get people to share around the impact of what God has done through this. Yep, you with me? Let's go. Everyone say week eight. Nice. The title is Loving Christ Above All Else. Today is simply, but I pray profoundly, a conversation about an intentional, conscious plan and rhythm of living to keep Jesus at the center of everything that we do. We see that in the earliest of believers who weren't even really called Christians yet. They were called practicers or followers of the way. And the way was Jesus himself. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Good job. Those are Jesus' words, not my words. Don't follow me. Follow him. Maybe follow me a little bit because I'm trying to point you to him. Is that all right? Let's read Acts 2 together and have a look. It says this, the fellowship of the believers, Acts 2, 42 to 47. They devoted. What are you devoted to? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the disciples' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. How's your heart? Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do you know the church is called to do four key things first? What are they? Let's go to the next one. Thanks, Blake. You're killing it on media, buddy. They, the believers, us, if we're believers and invited to be, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the word and teaching, growing in understanding, growing in maturity, growing in wisdom, growing in God, and to fellowship, gathering together, not forsaking meeting together. I get that stuff happens and our response is to isolate. That's the worst thing that you can do, and it's the very thing that our enemy wants us to do. To the breaking of bread, which in this context and my reading is firstly and primarily communion, but also breaking bread, practicing hospitality in homes, and to, yeah, exactly. Is that our response? And to a prayerless church is a powerless church. A prayerless believer is a powerless believer. That's not diminishing God. That is understanding that he has invited you to talk to him and hear from him. What good would a marriage be if you didn't talk to each other? This stuff is simple but profound. Why is this so hard to do? Why is it so hard to do? We're created to worship, and the world worships anything but Jesus. Let me qualify world. What do I mean? We have three enemies. One is like, how many of you sometimes do things that you wish you didn't do? I do that. So that's one enemy we got to combat. The other one is that there's a world out there that is deeply broken and lacks wisdom that tells you and tries to get you to do certain things or not do certain things. And then if you believe in God and light, Jesus is the light and life of all mankind, we also, there's darkness. Every time you turn on the news, depends what news it is. Man, some of them are so inflammatory and negative that no wonder everyone's worried out of their mind. God has asked us and given us a more stable foundation to live from. But we have an active enemy who wants to lie to us, who wants to steal from us, who wants to isolate us, who wants to devour like a roaring lion. And this series is about confronting some really hard things that with a vision of this kind of community as an outcome. Is it worth it? It's so worth it. Jesus died for us to have this kind of life and promise forever. So why is it so hard? Because we're created to worship. The world worships anything but Jesus, while everything in the world tries us to stop worshiping Jesus. John Tyson is an Aussie pastor, oi, 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 in New York, an absolute legend. This is what he said recently on a podcast. All worship is rooted in a sense of, I recognize I'm created and dependent. Created and dependent. And therefore, my response is gratitude and worship. Compared to idolatry, if you don't know what that means, it means if you love anything else more than God, that's idolatry. Which says I am self-defining and entitled. I've made myself and I have obligations to nobody beyond myself. Whew. That second one has got to be one of the strongest forming forces of the world out there. And people don't really say it that way, but they're living that way. And we are being invited to live that way. But the outcome of that is not life at all. Jesus has given us, you, new life, a new way to follow, and discipline and power and love in the Holy Spirit to do that. Hebrews 12, verse 28 to 29 says this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The question remains, which fire are you feeding? The Holy Spirit is often represented as fire. Tongues of fire landed on those in Acts at Pentecost. And you don't need to feed the Holy Spirit fire. You receive the Holy Spirit fire. You say, Lord, yes, I need you. I need you, Holy Spirit. Come and fill me afresh to overflowing. But I wonder which fire in your own life are you feeding? Because we all know what happens to fire when you feed it. It grows. So are you feeding the fire in which you know who you are in God, your need for God, which will keep you close to God, or the one in which you define who you are and you decide you're entitled to be comfortable and you don't owe anyone anything? And that first question mark is towards, what do you owe God? If you understand your relationship to God and live out of that, you will live well in relation to others. But it starts with your relationship with the Lord. Romans 12, 11. I talked about zeal a few weeks ago and there was a great response from people as we looked at that. I always tell my son, don't rub your eye too hard. It hurts. You'll do damage. And I just did exactly that. Romans 12, 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. And we talked about what is zeal? It's long-haul passion. Long-haul passion. We talked about that saying, light yourself on fire with passion and people come from miles around to watch you burn. But I've talked about this before. If you've lit yourself on fire in your own strength, you're going to turn into a cinder. You need the power and fire of the Holy Spirit. Seeking him. I want to ground us in some practical. I also on that same day shared a table around formation and experience. Let me start with experience. I pray today because God is here. And God doesn't only live in a church building because the Holy Spirit through Jesus has made you a very temple and lives in you. But I pray you would experience God's power and you would see it. I pray that you would experience his love. I pray you would experience his goodness. I pray you would experience his majesty, his enveloping, overwhelming, all-encompassing majesty. And I pray you would experience his comfort. But if you only rely on experience, then you miss out on the grounding of which, let's call it truth. Because what happens on the day when you don't feel those things? Those days where, like, God's still on the throne. We say these flippant things that are not wrong. But it's like a way to describe when we don't feel God. But actually, that's where discipleship, growing in the Lord together, that's where prayer, that's where opening, studying, meditating upon the Word of God that is alive. That's where being mentored by someone. No mentors are perfect, but everyone, regardless of age or stage, needs someone older or a peer to walk alongside them. And you might be mentoring each other, but you cannot live without that relationship. And Christians cannot live without serving, because our Savior, the one we're following, came not to be served, but to serve. If you're sitting here totally overwhelmed with life, it's okay. Acknowledge it. Be real about it. Be specific about it. And then pray about it. You do not have to rely on your own strength to be able to do this. But if your only formation, you'll be dry as chips and legalistic. And if your only experience, you'll probably be pretty weird. We need a grounding in truth and a grounding in experience, don't we? Yeah. And it's God's invitation to both. Are you discontented? Maybe that you're not growing in the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, godliness, self-control. Different translations say it a little bit differently. In the fruits of the Spirit. But are you also discontent that maybe you're not being as fruitful as God invites you and says that we can be? That's what I'm talking about. I heard a pastor say this the other day, or a speaker. He said, the devil's strategy is this, and it's fitting on Pentecost Sunday. He wants to keep you from Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus, come to Jesus first. Jesus meets us in all things, is all things. Come to Jesus first. But then if the devil can't keep you from Jesus, he's going to keep you from the Holy Spirit. You'd be like, oh, the Holy Spirit's some weird cloud that floats around and like it was like some magic genie or like whatever. No, the Holy Spirit is Jesus' representative in the world who comes to live in us, to comfort, to give power, to advocate. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. How much more do we need the Holy Spirit in our lives? And I don't know what you have been taught or maybe haven't been taught, but if you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in you. But there is a biblical precedent to say, Holy Spirit, it says, don't get drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And that word is Greek. It's pleros, which is really hard to say. It almost sounds a little bit Russian. And it's like, be filled in a present and ongoing sense. I pray, Holy Spirit, every day, come and fill me to overflowing. And I pray specifically, what do I need? I need wisdom. What do I need? I need encouragement. What do I need? I need empowerment. What do I need? I need the words to communicate, Lord, what you are saying, because I don't have them, but you do. We need the Holy Spirit, without which you won't care. You won't. I was going to say that very firmly. You won't care about what I'm saying right now. You won't care. You won't implement it. You won't love God the way you're invited to. You won't have discipline around these things. Some people are going, oh, I need deliverance from this and this and this and this. No, you need some discipline. As the Nike slogan says, some of us just need to do it. We're like, oh, my faith walk is dry, but you're not doing it. I'm going to give you a structure in how to do it in a moment. You also won't have faith and hope in the face of fear without seeking the Holy Spirit. Things that have come up a lot in this series have been like, fear doesn't come less when you're a Christian. It still comes. Pain doesn't hurt less when you're a Christian, but you have hope and help as you navigate it. Right? Like, this is why Scripture says, when people are weeping, we should sit there and weep with them and probably not say anything. And when they're rejoicing, we should sit with them and rejoice first. They don't need the why they're going through what they're doing. They need you with them, loving them. All right. So this title, which is the one that I didn't use at the start, and maybe you'll realize why. It says, go the next step to develop a rule of life. A rule of life. Don't we love that word, rule? Here, I'm going to bring you a set of rules. That's not what I'm doing. A rule of life finds its roots in the early church communities. And these were communities formed around an intentional and practical way of following the way. And it became something called a rule of life, which actually translates from a Greek word, which is the word, gentlemen, I need your help. A Greek word for trellis. So let's grab this trellis. Thank you, Noah and Joey. Let's all give them a round of applause. Maybe, gents, come up here and just stand on this first little step. I just need you to spin this thing around. Go up one more. Well done. Maybe just back a little bit, then you won't fall off the thing. Cool. Everyone say, hi, trellis. What does a trellis do? Oh. Everyone say, hi, Olive. Maybe back just a little more. Yeah, perfect. Thanks, gents. A trellis is something that helps a plant have structure, grow, give it a guide, and helps it to be more fruitful. And this is exactly what a rule of life or a trellis gives you as a follower of Jesus or as a faith community. Practices that we do together, one of which we're doing right now. And we've already talked about this. These things are so important. But what do we often put on our trellis? All right. It's really hard to like print something on like, so these aren't in order of like significance or importance, right? But what do we often put on there? We often put things like entertainment. I'm going to talk like this. I think this works. OHS, don't stab Noah. This is what is often on there. I feel like crying inside too. All right. Oh, thank you, my beautiful assistant. There could have been many, many more. Maybe at some point in your life, your trellis has looked something like this. It's had the search for money, coping. How do you cope with life? Do you put up your defenses? Do you run away and escape? What about entertainment? That could be a lot of things, and a lot of things could be on here. How much do we use entertainment to run away and escape or cope or just give us like a dopamine hit at the end of a hard day to go like, I love flicking on Netflix and we probably do it too much and I've been challenged in that. How much do we give fuel to fear and worry in our lives? How much do we wrestle with identity? Who am I really? What am I to be doing? All of these things are answered. How much have we made an idol of productivity? Some of these things are the biggest reasons that it is so hard for us as a community in our society to be still and know that God is God. Yeah? Right. All right. What is the invitation? Thank you. Maybe a little more balanced. If you are that olive, how much more would you flourish with a life like this? This is the invitation. I remember someone saying the most spiritual thing a Christian could do would be to organize their schedule with God's help. Some have said like around God. That's good, but the reality is that God is here within us and with us, helping us. You don't have to do it alone. This is a prescriptive thing. These are just headings, and Blake, there's a table up there that maybe you could put up, please, buddy. These are not the only ones, but as we go through this in our groups, you might have different headings. You might have different core values and things that you're called to as a believer, because we're not all the same and we're not all gifted in the same way. But Peter, the author, writes prayer, which would be scripture, silence and solitude, and stopping daily to focus our attention on God and to study. Rest, Sabbath, committing a time where you stop and you focus on God. And part of that is what we do when we come together on a Sunday. Simplicity, play and recreation, fun and outlet. And everybody said, amen. Yo, sometimes the thing that's missing from the church is fun. And it's because sometimes we're not actually taking up God's invitation to live the way He has prescribed and invited us to live. Work and activity, service and mission, care for our physical body. I heard a lady say the other day, as it relates to what is in her control, she is going to take care of herself so she can do anything that God asks her to do. And I thought, that's a really good way to put it. Because God actually, and only in the Christian faith is this true, God lives in this body. How amazing is that? You are not God, but God has gifted you His Spirit and presence. And relationships. We need emotional health in our relationships, don't we? Family, community, companions for the journey. We need companions for the journey. I need it. You need it. We're created to have it. One in two people in our nation are lonely. Japan now has, like, what's it called? A minister for loneliness. The world is flooded with content and we need truth. But how many people need community? Right? Don't just come and go from church to get like drip fed good content that makes you feel better, because what you actually need is community and companions for the journey. So look at what I'm saying. Yours might look different to this. You might have different banners. You might have different things under that. Of course, there are the core four things that I talked about from Acts for the church, devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These things, we do not need to reinvent them. because God has set them. We can use different words than fellowship, because if you said it down the street, someone would be like, what are you talking about? But it is needed. What else was I going to say about this? It's good. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Round of applause. Take your trellis and go. Good, good, good. Let me ask you a question for you to consider. How intentional are you about engaging in spiritual practices and rhythms which help you pay attention and put Jesus at the center of everything that you do? Don't say it out loud. 1 out of 10, how are you doing? How intentional are you? Because, let me ask you this, maybe rhetorical. Don't we want to be intentional, not just functional? Like, some of us are just walking around like functioning and surviving. Hit this way, hit that way, I'll just cope, I'll keep going. And we have seasons of that. But God is actually saying, hey, one of the greatest practices in following Jesus is that because you trust God, you can stop. And because you can stop, you can think. And because you can think, you can be intentional. Right? Following the prompting of God and planning are not mutually exclusive things. Put them together. But then you've got this trellis. Hold it lightly. Be committed to it. Be disciplined. If you miss a day, don't beat yourself up. Just restart. If you miss an hour or whatever, it's like that's not the point. Imagine if you missed it for a day, you spent the next day beating yourself up and missed out on that time with God, the whole time you're beating yourself up. That is not what this is for. It is to support your life, keeping you close to the Lord. Let me give you the example. Book of Daniel. Who knows Daniel? Of Daniel in the Lion's Den and fame. Come on, bit of... Yes, you know it? In the book, Peter Scazzaro writes this. He, Daniel, he is taken out of his land as a slave, captive, into an exile. We did a series a few years ago called Digital Exiles, talking about we're like exiles living in this foreign land that has been created. And this is what happens to us. He, Daniel, in this new land, studied in a completely foreign and pagan way of viewing the world. History, mathematics, medicine, religion, literature. Let me pause there. Christianity and those things are not opposites, right? Often those things were actually grounded from Christianity. But this culture was not a Christian culture, right? Does that make sense? I'm not saying that history, mathematics, medicine, religion, literature, science, and Christianity are incompatible. That's not what that means. He learned about myths, astrology, sorcery, and magic, all things banned in Israel, in the people of God. Pagan priests and counselors educated him in their wisdom and religion. In Babylon's effort to assimilate Daniel, they even changed his name because Babylon had one simple goal: to eliminate Daniel's distinctiveness as a God follower and absorb him into the values of their culture. You are under the same forces in your life and invited to live God's way, not their way. And in Daniel's day, the internet and smartphones and devices did not exist. There is a tool and a weapon in the hands of Christians to do great good in getting the gospel out there. But far out, so many of us are addicted to it and shaped more by things of an alien culture to our Christian culture than the ways of God. Make sense? Daniel had zero support system. Zero protection. Daniel didn't live like a monk cloistered away from people. He had a huge job, huge demands, and huge trauma. He was conquered and taken into captivity. He did not have a choice about what he was doing, but what he could do was not eat the king's contaminated food. And what did he do that got him thrown in the lion's den was he prayed 3 times a day, every day. That's what Daniel 6 tells us. These stories are so practical for our lives. Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you through Jesus as his representative. But on the flip side, don't underestimate the forces being exerted on you to conform to something other than Jesus. And there's a battle for our children. If there's a battle for our hearts and minds, there's a battle for theirs as well. I thought about this. So what would maybe like a rhythm that I could propose actually look like? And as I say this, remember, if you miss a day, if you miss a week, if you miss a moment, God is always drawing us back to him. That's actually been the whole narrative arc of the Bible. God doesn't give up on people and he draws them back to himself. Amen? So if we miss a practice, it's not about like, oh, I've got to go and hit my hand with a hammer to make up for it. Just go, sorry, God, I'm coming back. So let me propose this. How many hours in a week? Does anybody know? It's 168 hours in a week, right? Let's say that you sleep for the prescribed 8 to 10 hours a night. 7 tens are 70. So we're back to like 100 hours. All right, you with me? If you stopped morning, middle, and evening of every day for 10 minutes to focus on Jesus, that's how many minutes every day? That's 3.5 hours a week. Yes? Not too sure. And then maybe we stop and be still and know that God is God for like 2.5. And then we go to church. That's 2. You know when people call you and say, like, we missed you at church? They're not calling to say, we're going to beat you up for not being in church. They're literally just saying, we miss seeing you at church. Like, that's part of, like, emotionally healthy spirituality. It's like, we just miss you when you're not here. And then you're in a group midweek. Maybe it's youth. It's about 2 hours. Maybe it's young adults. Maybe it's a connect group. And you're plugged in. That is 10 hours. And it's just interesting outside of sleep that the offering of our finances we're invited to make at minimum is a tithe, is 10%. And that represents 10% of the 100 hours you have left. I didn't do that on purpose. I just looked at it this morning. I'm like, huh, that's an interesting aside. And you say, I can't do that in my life. I don't have time for that. Your screen time summary says that you do. All right, come on. So does mine. Right? I know you're using some of that screen time summary to look at biblical stuff. It's good, it's good. Right? If we are created and dependent, it is just logical that we are made to live in rhythm with the one who created us, not what we set and not what the world sets. Right? Romans 1, 20 to 22, not here for too much longer today, says this. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. When we don't acknowledge God, we don't glorify him as God or give thanks, what happens? Their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. I'm going to stand here and say the promise of human-driven utopia in technology and knowledge looks and calls itself wise, and look where we are. Futile. Foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. I do not want to go that way. More than that, not just for myself, God's invited us to live His way, that the church might be alive and shining, so that people who are living in this are drawn out of this, which is what happened in Acts 2, where it says, and they added to their number daily. We should look starkly different to the world. Our community should look starkly and qualitatively different from the world. Let me go back to that John Tyson quote again. Thanks, Blake. All worship is rooted in a sense of, I recognize that I'm created and dependent, and therefore my response is gratitude and worship. Compared to idolatry, where I'm God or something else is God, which says I am self-defining and entitled. I've made myself and I have obligations to no one beyond myself. The second part of that, in essence, is how the modern identity is formed. And that is not ours. The sin in this is that there is no reference point towards God. But it is cultural heresy. Like, imagine yourself walking out. It's a cultural heresy to say this, to say to someone, no, you don't have a blank slate to express yourself. You don't get to just make one up. You don't get to be God. People say, yes, I do. Well, look what's happening. It is not a blank slate. The world is saying, I am who I say I am. Having Jesus at the center is saying, I am who you say I am. God not only doesn't give permission for us to define who we are, He says, I made you and I know you. I knit you together in your mother's womb, which becomes so real once you become a parent. You were precious to me then. You're precious to me now. Without me, you have no life, because I gave my life for you to have life. I believe the Spirit today is calling some people to come alive. Romans 12:1 says this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. You're like, weren't we talking about a rule of life and a trellis? Yes, but it all starts in what you worship. God's doing so many amazing things in the world and highlighting people who don't even know God to this idea that humans were created to worship and will worship something if it isn't God. Even Russell Brand just got baptized and became a Christian. God is doing something. John Piper says this, before you think that the Christian life has everything to do with being merciful to people, it has everything to do with being worshipful towards God. It has everything to do with being worshipful towards God. Worship team, can you come up? Thank you. I want to invite you today to answer the question in your heart, what are you worshiping? And what does that understanding require? The first one might be, I realize I need Jesus and I need to repent and believe and be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit and walk out of here a new creation. And the second might be you've been walking with Jesus, but you realize actually your focus and your worship and your time and your effort has been towards something else. And you say, I want to say sorry. I want to repent. I want to turn back and put Jesus at the center. I need prayer. I need the Holy Spirit to minister to me, to put Christ back to where he is. And that includes your schedule. Would you stand with me? I just have a sense that there's someone who's just holding back because it all sounds like it's too good to be true, or that you have burdens that you think can't be shared and no one can bear. But the reality is the invitation is in Jesus is come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Whatever it is, I invite you to come. We reflect today on the day when God's representative, the Holy Spirit, comforter, counselor, advocate, power, love, a sound mind, came into the world to inhabit God's people, to help them and give them hope and power that we could shine with the light that God has made us to shine with, that it would have an impact in this world. But it starts in this room. And he, that real person, will give you boldness today to respond. I want to encourage you. I'm going to be standing right here. We've got other people who'd love to confidentially chat with you and pray with you, and we're going to sing. But let me pray. Father, today, we again reiterate, Holy Spirit, come. Fill us afresh to overflowing. And Lord, as your word says, no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, draw those who need drawing today. Get their feet to moving. Give their heart courage. They are on the brink of salvation, transformation, and a hope unlike anything they've ever known. And it's only through Jesus. And we pray, Lord, and ask you to do your work today in Jesus' name, because it's you who made a way. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's sing.